Hey there, welcome to What's the Truth. I'm so glad that you're here. We are continuing this conversation in season three titled The Impact of Stress. I'm your host, Jessica Hoddle, and we're going to be diving into how dieting is impacting your health. We're going to be talking about restricting food, binge eating with my friend, Clara Colley. Clara has been on the podcast before, but she's a registered dietitian and personal trainer, and her main mission is to help women learn how to steward their health well, but simplified and sustainable. So you guys know that I am all about simple and sustainable, and I'm sure that you are too. But most importantly, today's topic is so important to be addressed, especially on this topic about the impact of stress. I don't think we realize sometimes how dieting and that culture really skews and changes the way that we see food and our bodies, and also how we begin to treat our bodies in response to our view of it. I work with a lot of one-on-one clients. I run my 21-day coaching group, and I see this thread of restriction to binging. And we talk about different layers, but we talk about each one individually. This episode is really for you if you've struggled with dieting, maybe you found yourself kind of yo-yoing. This is also episode for you if you don't want to be there anymore, if you don't want to be dieting anymore, if you want to experience and walk in the freedom. Clara gives a lot of practical steps that you can implement, questions to ask yourself. I love, especially at the end, she gives out an acronym for HALT and she explains each one. So you're going to have to stay to the end. But most importantly, I want you to find freedom in this area, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. When Jesus went to the cross and died for you, he broke all the chains that is holding you down by condemnation, shame, because we have a direct access to the Father who cares, who loves you, who sees you, who cares about your body and what's going on with it. He is the ultimate healer. I write about in my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, how God is the one who closes the loops of our pains, meaning he is the only one that can close that loop, meaning he's the only one that can give us full closure. We do not need anybody else. We don't need our parents, our mom, our brother, our sister, our best friend, our ex-best friend, or anybody in our life, ex-boyfriends, to solidify or justify why they did what they did. We don't need closure from them. We can put closure on them. And I wanted to make that apparent in your healing journey, especially in my book, Face Off With Your Feelings. So if this is an area that you've wrestled with or struggled through, so make sure you go ahead and pick up my book, Face Off With Your Feelings. The link is in the show notes below. And let's go ahead and get to the interview with Clara. Clara, welcome back to the podcast. I know I've had you on many times and you probably have seen her name, but if not, welcome, Clara. I am glad that you're here. We are going to be talking about how dieting is impacting our health. We're going to be talking about restricting food and binge eating. And this is a topic near and dear to my heart because I have restricted food many times. And I don't know if I was ever considered a dieter. I was more of somebody that was afraid of food. Meaning we hear things like stay away from sugar at all costs. Do not have any sugar. That means fruit and bananas and, you know, all the things. And it causes us, you know, don't do dairy, don't do gluten, because you're a registered dietitian. So can you talk about kind of how the dieting world has really impacted and changed our view of just the way that we eat and even our thought process around eating?
Yeah. Well, first off, I would just like to say thank you for having me back. I love this because it's like a scheduled time that I'm like, I get to talk to Jess for X amount of minutes. I love it. And I just love what you're doing with this community and this podcast. It's just super helpful, I know, to me and to many other people. But dieting is, I don't know, like you said, I never thought of myself as like a dieter in the moment. But when in hindsight, like retrospect, I look back and I'm like, yeah, you were dieting. You were keeping a log of what you were eating and what you were working out and like calorie intake, and it just totally overrides, like, I feel like just our innate relationship with food and the way that, honestly, I think the Lord created us to kind of be in communion with food in a weird way as that sounds. It just totally takes the enjoyment of food off of the table and just the trust in your body and how the Lord made you. And it's really kind of condensed food and our mindset around food to like numbers and even attaching it to like our morality or our worth or like how good we are. And we just attach so much to our eating, our diet, whether it's good or bad. And then we make that a reflection of who we are. And it just, I mean, it just totally messes with everything around food, and it makes it so stressful and unenjoyable and confusing and overwhelming. And we get obsessed and wrapped up in it. And soon, you know, we're like, when did it get so confusing? Why is my relationship with food so stressful?
Mm-hmm. I think you hit it on the head there. Like, why is this so hard? I know many of us have probably said that before. Why is, you know, losing weight and food and losing weight, I don't really want to combine the two right now, but why does it feel so hard when I'm eating these foods and this doesn't happen? And why does it feel so hard to know what to eat? And I think that can segue us into restricting. You know, what does that look like? Why is that causing stress on our bodies when we begin to restrict things? What does that look like, you know, coming from a dietitian point of view, since you work with so many different clients?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's really kind of two types of restriction that come with it. So like there's the physical restriction of like literally physically restricting yourself from food, like not eating as much as you used to, or saying I can only eat X amount of calories a day. So the physical restriction. And then there's also like the mental restriction around like, oh, I shouldn't eat that food, or I can't eat that. That's so bad. That's so unhealthy. I can't have that around. And both of those restrictions work against our just kind of ease around food, and they make it literally impossible to feel at ease and comfortable around food because we're just always focused on restricting. And that just has such a considerable weight of stress on the body, mentally and physically and emotionally. I mean, just I'm thinking like what comes to mind is like your nervous system. You're just like probably always on edge because you're always focused on like what you shouldn't be doing, or like, is this going to hurt my health?
Am I hungry? Yeah. And you're like, I shouldn't eat because I am not supposed to be eating past 7.
Yeah.
The narratives. Yeah.
And it's like, you're back and forth and back and forth, and like your body can't even like literally calm down. And so you're just always kind of like hyper aware or attentive to everything. And that's stress. Like your body identifies that as stress. And then pair that with like literally not giving your body enough of the nutrients, the energy that it needs to function, to make your heart beat, to allow you to think, to allow you to rest, to, I don't know, allow you just to do kind of your day-to-day activities without being in this world brain fog or whatever. Like, it all adds up. It's all stress.
I think that is important. We've been talking a lot about the nervous system. I think every guest has said this is impacting our nervous system. So as you can tell, this is important. This impacts us in some things are positive and some things maybe not as well, or being able to manage that as well. And I think that's important. So what kind of maybe questions do you ask your clients or people that you work with that are restricting, or little baby steps to get women to be able to kind of come out of, you know, maybe the narratives that they heard, or the fear of food, or the what ifs, you know, what if I eat this, am I going to get this consequence? Because that's a lot in the diet culture, right? If I do this, XYZ is going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you practically recommend clients to kind of begin to step out of that, or questions that you ask specifically?
Mm-hmm. Two of the big questions I ask is like, who told you that or where did you hear that? And just kind of like to get people to say that out loud and to process through it and mm-hmm. think through it. I think a lot of times, you know, we don't really take the time to think of like, well, where did I hear that? And what is the validity of it? And then the second question would just be like asking them why, like, you know, why are you wanting to focus on this? Or why is this weighing so heavy on you? Mm-hmm. Why is this so important to you? And keep like asking them why. To me, a lot of times it comes down to like motives, which I talk about a lot on my Instagram.
Which you can go right to. Go ahead and talk even about the motives, which kind of pairs with what you're talking about.
Yeah. Like I don't know. I have a hard time. Like, I think there are some things that we do when it comes to how we eat or what we eat or why we eat that aren't inherently bad, but it's our approach. It's our why. It's our motivation behind why we're doing that. That is the problem. And that can make these kind of maybe neutral health actions turn negative and hurtful to us. And that's not to say everything is neutral, like, you know, undereating or telling yourself you can't eat past 7 o'clock, like those aren't always neutral. They could be negative. And so there's, you know, nuances, of course, but I think just really getting honest of like, okay, well, why am I so stressed out about eating after 7 o'clock, for instance? What's going to happen? Scared I'm going to gain weight. Well, why are you scared you're going to gain weight? Like, why is that weighing so heavy on you? Well, I don't want to look like I did, you know, before I lost the weight or something. And well, why is that? Well, because I, you know, didn't feel like anyone liked me. I felt overlooked, or I didn't feel pretty. And so, oh, wow, we just got really deep by asking why. And those emotions and those thoughts are, it's hard, very hard to kind of like sit with yourself and process through that, because it's just flat out uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like,
and I love the question asking, because we don't realize that oftentimes even our dieting and restriction ways are just fruit of what's going on underneath. Right? Mm-hmm. We try to control our feelings and manage our feelings through food. It's just an outlet for us. Yep. How we move our bodies, how we eat our foods, or what we don't eat. And mm-hmm. then that's just a fruit of sometimes I feel out of control within me, or there's, you know, something going on that's frustrating and I'm angry and you know what, I deserve this and who cares. Mm-hmm. And so you're absolutely right. Being willing to take them to that level to get to the root. Because mm-hmm. then once you uproot the root, then the fruit changes. And yeah. I think this goes right into binging, because restriction says that you can't have something. Mm-hmm. And if you do, you're bad. Then what happens with binging is they come off of this way of eating and they want to rebel. Typically, they want to rebel against the foods that this diet told them was bad. Then we go into binging through maybe even under eating, or, you know, binging can happen in many different ways. I've seen it. I'm sure you have too, of either just emotional binge or under eating that leads to binge. But I've seen a lot with restriction leading to binging. Can you talk how those go together?
Yeah. I feel like I can talk through this, like, honestly, just from personal experience. Like, I was never diagnosed with binge eating disorder, but like, again, in hindsight, I can look back and be like, wow, I can see it so clearly now. And so I want to like just make it very clear that this is something that I had to learn. It wasn't just something that like I kind of innately knew. I literally went through the trenches with it. And so when it comes to like restriction and binging, you nailed it so perfectly, kind of with what you were talking about of like, just like under eating and not eating enough can lead to a binge. And like the emotional aspect can also lead to a binge. But with like restriction, I think it comes with like, again, the mental and the physical. So like mentally, if you're restricting yourself from certain foods, like I can't eat gluten because it's super inflammatory, or I can't eat sugar because it's super inflammatory. So you don't have them around, but like they're all you think about. that can lead to a binge. And then there's also the mental, I just talked about physical, the mental aspect of like restricting, which kind of ties into that as well. If you tell yourself that you can't have it, eventually the body is going to cave. Like the easiest way I can relate it to is like telling a kid to not touch a hot stove. Like you're restricting them, that you're telling them not to do something. They're gonna rebel because like, that's just their, who they, like how they respond to the world. And even as adults, telling ourselves to not do something or that we can't have something or that we're restricting it is almost always going to lead to a binge, especially when it's related to food, which our body literally needs to survive. And so it leads to this binge where we feel out of control around this food. And just like, I mean, it's almost an out of body experience. Like you're eating and eating and eating and eating and eating. And that's because your body is literally like, been restricted. Like you haven't been giving it the nourishment it needs, or you've been putting all of the stress on it where you tell yourself you can't eat something. And so now you're finally around it and holy cow, like the floodgates open and you're like, I can't be trusted around this food. And it's like, it's not a lack of willpower. It's not a lack of discipline. It's literally a lack of you being well fed mm-hmm. and allowing yourself just like full-fledged access to that food.
I'm glad that you said that though, because yeah. a lot of people think it's discipline and willpower. Oh. But a lot of times it's even like my one-on-one clients and working in my coaching group, I've noticed that binges are actually just bigger meals, but they look like binges because they're bigger, higher calorie than mm-hmm. maybe their 300 calorie meal that they've restricted to.
Oh my gosh.
But maybe they have 800 to 900 calories, but, and that's that binge for them because they're so used to the 300 calorie meals. Right. And I think again, that's where so many different binges come in, because then there's the honeymoon phase where you eat all the food, you binge on all the food because you know that a diet's coming. Mm-hmm. So you binge on all the food that you think you can't have. And then you go on this, you know, diet. And I think that it's so important that you said that, and I didn't mean to interrupt your thought, but so many women believe, well, I'm just not strong enough. I don't have enough self-control or willpower and discipline. But I think you hit it on the head. It's your body's actually really hungry, or it needs something. And so it's communicating with you.
Yeah. And I'll say just like a personal example. So like when I was kind of in the throes of this, like cereal and peanut butter were my two things that like I could not keep in the pantry, because like I could eat through them like in a night. Literally, I could go through a box of cereal in a night, in like very short amount of time in a night as well. But now I can keep those in my house and like kind of forget about them. Whereas like I could never imagine to wrap my mind around that 10 years ago. And when I look back and like kind of see why is that different now? It's because I'm eating enough food earlier in the day. I'm not restricting physically. I'm not restricting mentally. All foods are available for me to eat. And when it comes to those foods that I kind of put as off limits, like I have mentally removed that label of off limits are bad. And that comes with time. Yeah. Like it's not just like a flip of the switch of like, okay, everything's great. These foods are wonderful. It takes effort and it takes time and patience. And then with that, I also had to learn how to like deal and face with my emotions, face off with your feelings. Perfect plug for your book.
thanks, girl.
But like truly, that was probably one of the biggest pieces of like, I had to deal with my emotions. I had to address them and then deal with them and find other ways to deal with them other than using food to numb out. Mm. So for me, it was like, there was a lot going on for the binges, but addressing all of those really helped me get to the point where I am now, where I'm like, I can keep them in the pantry. And like, if I want them, I'll go and eat them.
Yeah.
And I try to remind
them. No, all of that's good. Especially since, you know, I want to get into some practical ways about like coming out of binging as well, because we've talked about, I think labels are important, you know, trusting the Holy Spirit, which is like a whole other concept for so many of us, you know, because he's the teacher, he's the helper, he's the comforter, he's the supporter, and being able to trust ourselves again with food. I think that is where it kind of comes down to as well, because nobody's telling us how to eat anymore. If we're getting away from dieting, mm-hmm. we think, well, what am I supposed to eat if nobody's telling me how to eat?
Yeah.
What do you recommend when it comes to women that might be struggling right now with the idea of binging? And I hope that, you know, anyone listening, we've tried to mention a few different ways and things like that, but really just to help you think maybe just a little bit bigger and outside the box, in that, you know, God desires freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that means that within us, we can and have access to freedom, and you can be set free. I've seen people be set free from binging. Mm-hmm. What do you help your clients with specifically, that maybe some, again, more practical, that somebody could even implement today or begin to think about in process?
Yeah. So kind of, I guess maybe two or three things that come to mind. One of them is kind of something that you can do after the fact. So like you binged after the fact, this is something that you can utilize. So I like to think of it as kind of breaking the chain. So you say you have this episode of a binge and you're down on yourself, you're frustrated, and you're like, why did that happen again? Well, this is an opportunity to just kind of like audit what happened. So like, what did you feel in the moment? What were you eating? You know, what was the environment around you at that time? A couple minutes up to the binge, like, where were you? What were you doing? What was the environment? What were you feeling? What led to those feelings? What do you think led to those feelings? A couple hours before the binge, same kind of questions. Where were you? What was going on? What were your feelings, emotions, thoughts? And kind of continuing that maybe throughout the rest of the day, maybe even the day prior, just to kind of get a better timeline, because it feels like binges has kind of like come out of nowhere. But a seed had been planted. And so that can kind of help just give you a more kind of broad look at like, okay, well, yeah, I was really, really stressed out around lunch today. I didn't eat breakfast. I didn't plan lunch well. I felt, you know, overlooked by a friend who I really wanted to connect with or something or another. And all the while I'm trying to get in, you know, shape for spring break. And so I'm restricting and like, oh, I guess, yeah, this can all kind of add up to me sitting on the floor with a tub of ice cream. So that breaking the chain can be one thing that can be helpful. Another thing that I find helpful with some clients is I call it the HALT approach. So it's like an acronym. It stands for hungry, angry, lonely, tired. I also like to throw in like bored in there as well, or sad. So like if you find yourself...
I want to throw in one, habit.
Habit. Yes. Oh, yes.
We don't even realize, like, when we're watching a movie, I want something to eat. Like, yeah. I want a snack, and that's a habit.
That's a habit. Yeah.
Yes,
it's not a bad thing per se, but it's a habit.
It's like, it can be a happy thing, but it's also movie snack. It's like it's a habit. I've equated the two, but okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So like I say this, if you find yourself maybe a little bit more aware, you can kind of feel it coming, the binge coming, stopping, halting, and thinking, am I hungry? Am I angry? Am I lonely? Am I tired? And then, you know, am I bored? Am I sad? Is it a habit? And kind of thinking through your emotions and how you're feeling, and then thinking, okay, well, is food going to help that? And it might not, you know, it could be a coping mechanism. I always like to make sure people know that like using food to cope isn't bad, but if that's the only way that you cope with your emotions or you use it to numb out, well, that's a red flag. It's not serving you like you want it to. And so using that HALT approach can be helpful to kind of just like stop, because it's so like, you know, you kind of get in it and everything kind of blacks out. So if you can find the ability just to kind of like stop for a second and build in that awareness, you may still binge, but you're building in that space to slow down, which I think is big.
No, I think that's perfect. I think HALT is great. I think after being able to look back with just compassion and grace on yourself of, hey, you didn't do it well this time, but you can learn every single time and move forward. you know, as we wrap up today, what would you like, you know, the women to know as they're walking through coming out of dieting and coming out of this restriction and binge kind of lifestyle?
Man, that's a big question. I would say, I would probably say a lot, but I'll keep it concise. I'll try. It's possible to overcome it. It's not going to be done in your own strength or discipline or willpower. I think the Holy Spirit is what empowers us and equips us to be able to do this. Yeah. And we get to partner with Him and the Holy Spirit. But it also requires our effort to kind of pair with the Holy Spirit. We can't just kind of like sit back and enjoy the ride. And so it's challenging, but it's possible. And I think honestly, if there was something that I could hear 10 years ago when I was going through it, and this might not be relevant to everyone's kind of situation, but it was, you know, your worth, your value, your identity is not in how you look. Because I think for a lot of people, we're restricting because we want to change how we look, because we want the approval of other people. And so for me, that was the underlying root for me that I had to uproot of like, that is not where your worth and your identity comes from. And removing labels from food, you know, as scary as it feels, is one of the most freeing things ever, because they no longer have control over you. And it's that freedom that we find in Christ when we get to partner with Him.
I think I love the honesty too of, hey, look, this is going to be hard. It's going to feel like tension. It's going to feel like you're doing the wrong thing. The enemy's going to come in and he's going to convince you that you're doing it wrong. Yeah. And, you know, especially kind of moving into an intuitive eating approach, learning to eat food again that you once restricted. And it's such a process. But you said it. It's, are we willing to do that? And that is, I think, so important, because he can do whatever he wants, but I know that faith and works go together, and we need to meet him just like he meets us. You know, scripture, I was just reading, I'm in the prophets, and it's so often that he says, you know, if you come to me, I'm going to come to you. And so there's this back and forth in relationship where we get to go to him, you know, draw near to him, and he draws near to us. So where can people find more about you? I know you have some things, and you have a book as well. So how can we support you?
Well, I'm on Instagram at Food Fitness and Faith. You can follow me there. My website, claranorfleet.com. I'm breaking all the rules, and all of my handles aren't the same. But on my website, I also have an ebook for sale called Simple Staples, and it's got a bunch of really great recipes in it, as well as just like what I describe as very practical nutrition advice and tips to implement. Emotional eating, I talk about that in there. Dealing with cravings and learning just how to fuel yourself in a way that nourishes your body and honors, you know, just kind of your goals and your values and your priorities, because health it's a big part of life, but it's not the only part of our life. And I always say, you know, it's supposed to enhance our life, not engulf it. And so that's kind of the message that I hope my ebook and my resources push people towards.
Yeah. Well, I'll make sure I have all the links in the show notes and everything below so you guys can find Clara. But Clara, thanks so much for hanging out with me and sharing your wisdom with us. It means so much.
I enjoy it every time. You're a gem.